call us to holiness. We hear your call, Father. We receive the grace to walk in your divine grace. We magnify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lamb of God, seated at the right hand of the Father, as we behold you, may we see that we've been transformed into the same image, from glory unto glory. Help our fair souls. Help us be everything you purpose us to be. You, God, and you cannot lie. You will present us holy, righteous, blameless, spot-free, blemish-free, because you cannot lie. Your precious blood cleanses us from all sin. And that which you've promised the Father, you will deliver as you purposed. Thank you that your word is cleansing us now and making us exactly what you say we are. Be exalted, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for your empowering grace to live victoriously. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for everyone that's here this wonderful day. And for those of you who are joining us online, we've been studying through the book of Matthew. We're in the 25th chapter of this great book. We went through the 24th chapter, where we primarily addressed the issues of the end of times, the last days, and what we found out in there is that the Lord gives us a lot of scenarios of different ways that the things of the end time may play out as. That's not because God isn't sure of what he's going to do. He's absolutely sure of it. But he doesn't want the enemy of our souls to determine any of those decisions. So on one hand, he says that he'll cut the days short in the 24th chapter. But we read in the 25th chapter that he tarried and stayed longer than he should have stayed as a bridegroom. And the five wise virgins were able to go in when the trump or the announcement was made that the bridegroom was coming, and the foolish ones were not ready. So on one hand, he tells us about the shortening of time, and on the other hand, he tells us about the elongation of time. Because if you tarry, you're intentional. It's not like you were delayed. You tarried because you intended to tarry. You intended to delay. It was not circumstances that determined it. You determined it. That make sense? So, basically what we've come to conclude or have seen from all of these passages is that God is taking away any ability for anyone to determine in very specific terms when he's going to come. He may come right now. And none of the other things that were said in there need to happen. It can come at any time. And the idea is about being ready. Act today like He's coming today. Live today like Jesus is coming right now. Don't push it and think, okay, He might come down 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now, 20 years from now, 200 years from now. It matters not. As far as the disciples and the apostles were concerned, in the first century, He was coming now. 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for His coming. John says, the spirit of the Antichrist is now in the world. 2,000 years later, we're talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, does that mean that God is not going to do what God said He's going to do? No, Peter tells us, no, don't count slackness when you're talking about the things of God. For a day is like 1,000 years before God. So in real terms, Jesus, our Lord, has been gone for 2 days. The message is clear. Be ready, for you do not know when He will come. In Matthew 25 and verse 14, the Lord begins to share another parable with us. For here He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, gave them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Now, 5 talents, that's a lot of money. In terms of gold, a talent, at the time the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here, sharing this parable, a talent was 200 pounds of gold. Not 200 ounces, 200 pounds. Today, an ounce of gold is about 17 plus or 1800. Are you with me? In silver, it was about 100 pounds or 45 kilograms for 1 talent. In gold, 90 kilograms or 200 pounds. So 5 talents, if it does this in gold, that's 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds of gold. We're talking here billions. Well, some of you might say, think, well, these talents must be your skills. I'm talented in playing the guitar, or playing the drums, or playing the sax, or playing the keyboard. No, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking money. So another he gave 2, and to another 1, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. He gave to them according to their several abilities. So the one that had the most had several abilities, was skilled in so many ways. And abilities are made up of our commitment to study, to acquire knowledge, to know things. And so he gave to one 5, and to another one he gave 2, to another one he gave 1. And straightaway took his journey, he left. He committed to them his resources. Now the Bible doesn't tell us that when he gave it to them, that he instructed them to trade it or not to trade it or whatever. We don't have that particular detail in the passage. What we do have is this. The word of God says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. He began to trade with what he had and made them other 5 talents. He acquired 5 more talents. So now he has 10 talents or 2,000 pounds. He was given 1,000. And now he's made up from that 1,000, 2,000 by trading, working with what he had. You know, this is a real issue, because the talents that you don't make use of, you get to lose. I remember the days when I used to play the guitar. And I used to put a guitar right in my back, playing lead. I'll play, and put it up right here and be picking. I can't even do that no more because I've stopped playing. You don't use it, you lose it. But the more you use it, the more you continue to grow in it. Amen? So he traded what he had, and he reproduced 100%. He increased 100%, 100-fold of what he started with. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained order 2, 100%. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's what? Money. So we know for fact that the talent here is in reference to money. And one of the key things that the Lord talks to us about here is the responsibility that we have for money. And this is related to the end times. Hello, are you with me? So the Lord talks about money and how we use money in the end times, that we increase what he's given to us and multiply it, that we learn about money according to their several abilities. If there is a people, a group of people that are ignorant about money and how money works, I think most of them are in the church. And the reason we're ignorant about money is that we think that money is evil. The Word of God never tells us that money is evil. It says the love of money is evil. We need to learn about how money works and how we can increase what God has given to us, what is placed in our hands, because there are people out there that are trading in the stock market or whatever market, and they are trading whatever it is that they've got to increase it. And God wants the same thing from us, because the money that he gives to us, he intends and wants to increase. He wants it to increase. And we can log into his wisdom and begin to trade with what he has given to us, not foolishly, but wisely. The one that had five traded with it and produced 100%. The one that had two traded with it and produced 100%. But this last guy went and digged it in the earth. Must have wrapped it up with some garbage bags and whatever else and put them in a safety box. Dug a hole, put it in there, buried it. And the Bible says, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. He came back and reckoned with them. He called them and said, okay, I need a report. How did you guys do? What did you do with what I give to you? And the bottom line is this, that God is going to ask every one of us about what we've done with what he's given to us. Whether it's money or any kind of ability. And he is not coming back to receive exactly what he gave to us. He expects for it to increase. Amen? So God's mindset is a mindset of increase. I anointed you. When I come back, I want to see you moving in a greater anointing than when I left you. I gave you money. I want to come back and see you richer than I left you. And that is not all God dependent. It is us dependent on how we use what God has given to us. How are you using what God has given to you? What are you producing with it? How are you trading it? How are you working it? Who is going to be helped by it? Now, we see that he came back and reckoned with them. Basically, had them give a report of what they had done with what he gave to them. And so verse 20 says, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. And this is what he said, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. I matched up with what you gave to me. Wow. His Lord said unto him, well done. That's a very key, important word there. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why is he good and faithful? Because he was not interested in just himself. He wanted to be a blessing to his Lord. The same thing with the virgins. The 5 wise ones were there to be a blessing to their Lord. I was talking to a dear son of God this evening. I needed something because I will be sharing in a meeting tonight that's going to go and impact different people around the world. Some people are going to be in Europe, in the US, in Asia. And I did that last night, and I'll be doing that tonight also, and well, this time Mama is also going to be joining me in doing this time of ministry. Anyway, needed to address certain issues, and I needed help to get some information in place so that these people can tap into it. And this son said, you know what, this is going to take me this much time to do this, so I am going to start going to the church right now so I can get it ready. Now, that is a love for God, but that's a love for me, because you have a need, I'm going to help you make it happen. The same thing with the Lord. When you love the Lord, you do what you can to make it happen. Now, there are people who do things for their own benefit. They don't want to be a blessing to somebody else. That is not a good and faithful servant. A good and faithful servant sees himself, even with all this money, all these resources, he wants to do more. He wants to produce more. In fact, I am convinced that even if he did not produce 100% and even lost whatever it is that he had, and he came to his master and said, you know, I was trading with it, but I made some bad decisions and I messed up, I am so sorry, that he would have received honor from his boss because he tried. Some people don't try. They don't try. They don't do anything to try to be a blessing. If you trying to be a blessing and messed up, that's a totally different story. I may not give you that much next time. I might start you out from, you know, another small amount. But I know you're trying. I might spend some time saying, okay, what did you do? Okay, I see where you made a mistake here. Do you know where you made a mistake? No, I've been trying to figure it out, but I don't know how I made a mistake, but I know I made a mistake because I lost. I invested wrongly, but you are trying. The economy was bad, and you know, COVID-19 came and the economy crashed, and that's why. Okay, you had other circumstances. All right, now I have to teach you how to override those kind of situations by the word of faith, whatever. Anyhow, this guy produced 100% more. And his boss was happy with him. And the word of God says, he says, his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. £1,000 of gold, that's a few things. I wonder how much he had. He says, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Because you've been faithful, I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into my joy. I'm happy because you served so faithfully. I'm happy because you gave so faithfully. I'm happy because you committed yourself so fervently. And I'm going to give you more responsibilities. I'm going to give you more. And so that you have rulership over many things. You've proven yourself to be faithful in ruling over a few things. I'm going to give you more. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Another 100% return. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Same testament. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Same commendation from his Lord. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Faithfulness. And the message here is not as much as the money, but as the fact that they were faithful. They were good, committed, faithful servants who took responsibility over what had been given to them and made certain that it was better than when it was handed over to them. That's what's important. This is what I got, but I've made it this. I've increased it. And God says, good and faithful servant. You did what you're supposed to do. 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. He says, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. So that's how I know you. You're a hard man. Reaping where thou hast not sown. You reap where you don't sow. Okay? And gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was what? Afraid. You standing before your boss, and you telling him, I know that you're a hard man, and you reap, you try to reap where you didn't sow, and you're trying to get a harvest from that which you have not strawed, you know. In other words, you're a thief. But I was afraid. What a lie. That's the hypocrisy that is manifested when somebody does not operate in the spirit of love. He says, I know you, you're a hard man. You just want to get all the credit. You're a hard man. You're not going to give anybody anything. You just want to take. And I was afraid. Went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, he dug it up and said, this is what you gave to me. You have exactly what you gave to me back. I didn't lose a dime. So, if you know that he's a hard man and he likes reaping where he did not sow, and you're really truly afraid, true fear of God, wouldn't it be true that you at least worked really hard to make sure that this man, hard man's attitude is softened? If you really believe that. People who don't want to be a blessing to you always think that you have ulterior motives. That's what the Lord is showing right there. You give somebody a responsibility. I want you to do such and such. And they are not producing anything from whatever it is that you told them to do. They care nothing for you. A man, a woman that truly cares will produce. They will do something to make sure that there is increase. Not because you are there hounding them, but because they know, even without you saying anything. Notice, he didn't tell them, here, these are the talents. When I come back, I expect this from you. He just gave it to them according to their several abilities. They made the decision that they are going to make sure that when he comes back, that he gets more from than what he gave to them, than what he put into their responsibility. They made that decision. And sure enough, when he came back to take an account. They knew him. The one who said, I know you, is the one that did not know his master. I know you. You're a hard man. Okay? So that's what you think. So you're right. He's a hard man, but I'm going to do my best to make sure that I please him. He likes reaping where he did not sow. So I'm going to make sure that I bring him a harvest that he did not sow. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? All I'm saying is this. Maybe this guy who said I'm afraid is totally right. But his interpretation of that rightness was not to correct how that boss looks at him to please him, but to say, I am not supporting anything that you are doing. Yeah. Let's ask ourselves this question. How different am I from that man with the one talent? How many people have I gone after deliberately to see if I can lead them to the Lord? You know, people want titles. It's just the way of life. How much have you done with the title that you have got? How many lives have been impacted by that title? You want to be an elder? You want to be a deacon? You want to be a pastor? You want to be whatever? What have you done to add to the body of Christ? If you've been here for a year, how many people have you directly or indirectly led to the Lord? Or let's put it this way, how many people have you shared the word of God with that did not come? But you did anyway. You tried. You loved. You gave. Every one of us need to ask ourselves that question. How many people? Now, nobody wins souls all by themselves. No church grows all by itself. It's obvious that shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Yeah? Anyone seen a shepherd give birth to sheep before? No? Okay, so it must be that sheep give birth to sheep, little lambs. Shepherds care for the flock. The flock happens because the sheep are giving birth. They're interacting, they're relating, and there's increase, and the shepherd is doing everything to take care of that sheep, and then he has under shepherds that help, and so on and so forth, and the body continues to grow in a robust manner. Yeah? So if we're not doing that, do we suppose that the Lord is going to say to us at some point, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when I have nothing to present to him in thanksgiving? He's saying, "God, you saved me, but I'm not coming alone. I'm coming with one more person. I'm coming with two. I'm coming with three. I'm coming with 10. I'm coming with 100. I'm coming with 1,000,000. I'm not coming alone. You saved me, but because you saved me, many are coming into the household of faith." There is somebody that you have influence with. Did you know that? Everybody has influence with somebody. We all, every single one of us, has influence, has somebody that we are connected to that needs God's love. Whether it's a father, mother, brother, sister, child, uncle, cousin, co-worker, a co-business person, a contractor, or somebody that's giving me a contract, whatever. We all have somebody. There's a neighbor. And the fact is, that person that you know knows somebody else who knows somebody else who knows somebody else who knows somebody else. And if every one of us just win one, we'll have so many people come to salvation. There is somebody. And my prayer, your prayer should be every day, "God, who is that person that you have your eyes on that you can use me to reach? Who is it? Who has a problem that I can be your hands and to bring ministry to?" This one says, "You know, I'm really having a problem with my wife or with my children or with my husband." And you come alongside, say, "Wow, what's going on? Is there anything I can do to help? Maybe I can pray with you. Or do you need to talk? I have an answer. Let me show you this. Or here is a book. Or here is a CD that addresses the issue that you're going through right now. Listen to this and let's talk about it." There's something. There's one assignment that we all have. That's to win souls to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, "I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful, lazy servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore, since you know this, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges. At least you should have put it somewhere where it could have gained some interest. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. So I didn't get 100% result. But I would have had some interest, at least some increase from it. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. Wow. So they take it from him and they give it to the one who had 10 talents, not the one who had 2. They both produce 100%. But they give it to the guy who had 10 now. That means that guy has 11. Which means he's going to have 22. If he trades it again, he's going to end up with 22, 100%. If he gave it to the guy who had 2, that guy will have 3, and all he produces 6. If he produces more. Are you with me? So what's the idea? God is interested in increase. And this becomes a prayer point for every one of us. For us as individuals, for us as a church, as a ministry. God, you are interested in increase. Grant me the grace to increase. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is interested in increase. Increase we must have. He says, for unto everyone that hath shall be given. God gives to those who have, and he shall have abundance. God wants increase, and he wants abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Verse 30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cast him out into outer darkness. All he's going to have henceforth is a lot of pain, sorrow. Why? He is not interested in being a blessing. And that story becomes a very true story for everyone who doesn't seek to be a blessing. When you seek not to be a blessing, you end up in a state of outer darkness. The way God does is this. He says, if you're faithful in taking care of that which belongs to another, then God will give you that which belongs to you. If you've not been faithful to take care of that which belongs to another, and you're trying to get what belongs or you think belongs to you, you end up in outer darkness. Whatever it is that you sow, you end up reaping. You know, so many people many times, and I've seen this happen too many times, may have a gifting, may have an ability, but they will never truly use it to cause somebody else to be blessed because they don't want somebody else to have credit for whatever it is that they end up coming up with. May that not be us, amen? Hallelujah. Well, let us end there today, and we'll pick it up from verse 31 next time we come together. Let me just read this. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And with that statement, what God is saying, not only in terms of nations, is this, that those who serve him faithfully, he's going to separate them from those who had their own agenda and did nothing to please him. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith worketh by love. Yeah? So when we don't love, we don't exercise faith. We take no risk. These first 5 and 2 talents, they took a risk to be a blessing. Take the risk to share the gospel. You never know. Somebody might just get saved for eternity. That's worth it. And that statement, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is made to soul winners. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your many blessings and for the grace that is abiding. Lord, we don't want to be wicked, slothful servants that totally abuse our relationship with you. We want to be men and women that walk faithfully in love, desiring to do the right thing, desiring to bless your holy name. We exalt you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we say yes to your will, yes to your word. Help us be truly soul winners. Help us, O God, to be financial geniuses, people that are able to manage resources wisely and experience increase. God, you're the God who believes in increase and abundance. We're asking, O God, for increase in everything you've called us to do. Help us to increase as the body of Christ. Help us to increase financially, relationally, increase, O God, in souls saved, men and women healed, delivered, and set free. Help us, O God, to increase in our various ministries, whether it's the preaching of the word or the teaching of the word or the leading of worship, whatever it is that you've called us to do, may we experience increase in those areas. If we are, O God, called, O God, to deal with the finances of the ministry, as we, O God, count, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, let the finances increase. We thank you, Lord, O God, for every area of ministry, let there be supernatural increase in Christian education, in the music ministry, in the drama ministry, in the teaching ministry, Lord, O God, in the hospitality ministry, whatever ministry you've called us to, let there be supernatural increase. We thank you, Lord, for this, even now, that we may hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you for your help, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call this done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for his faithfulness. Let's honor God with our giving. And as we honor God with our giving, may God honor us with his increase. You may use the information on the screen. Donation at gloryandpeace.com and info@myxenoministries.com. You can bring your offerings right here to the house of the Lord, or send it in by mail or do the e-transfers as have been noted. Be reminded that this Friday we will be together once again for a time of prayer. And of course, this Sunday we will be here at 10 a.m. service and also at a 7 p.m. service. And we look forward to ministering to you and seeing that God empowers you in every area of your life. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. We love you and good night. Thank you.